Proverbs chapter 6, beginning at verse 12. This is God's holy word. A scoundrel and villain who goes about with a corrupt mouth, who winks with his eye, signals with his feet, and motions with his fingers, who plots evil with deceit in his heart. He always stirs up dissension. Therefore, disaster will overtake him in an instant. He will suddenly be destroyed without remedy. The grass withers and the flower fades, but the word of our God stands forever. Amen. Well, friends, if you remember from last time in the last section of Proverbs chapter 6 that we considered, we saw Solomon warning his son and God warning us about the sin of laziness, the sluggard who sleeps away his life. You know, there's one thing worse than a man who does nothing, and that is someone who is busy doing wrong. It's worse to be busy doing wrong than to do nothing at all. And the warning here that we've heard tonight in Proverbs 6, verses 12 and following, is against being busy in wrongdoing, especially in an area that Proverbs deals so much with. It has to do with the words we speak. That's really what Solomon focuses on when he says in the second part of verse 12, who goes about with a corrupt mouth. Literally, the Hebrew says, with crooked speech. It's not straight, it's crooked. And you know, as people, we even use that language today. Someone, if you call someone crooked, that's not a compliment, is it? They're dishonest, they're crafty, they're scheming, they're wicked people, they're crooked. Well, here, it's applied to words, crooked, or sometimes the word is translated perverse speech. We've seen that word already used in Proverbs 4:24. Put away perversity from your mouth. Same word, crooked talking. And of course, when we hear in Proverbs this warning against the words we speak, our minds likely go to that classic passage in the book of James, the letter of James in chapter 3. You know, whenever I think of a passage that will help me to think the way God wants me to think about the words that I say, my mind right away goes to James chapter 3. It's such a colorful, vivid way of reminding us about the words that we speak. You probably remember the illustrations from that passage. When we put bits in the mouths of horses to make them obey us, we can turn the whole animal. Or take ships as an example. Although they are so large and driven by strong winds, they are steered by a very small rudder wherever the pilot wants to go. Likewise, the tongue is a small part of the body, but it makes great boasts. Consider what a great forest is set on fire by a small spark. The tongue also is a fire, a world of evil among the parts of the body. It corrupts the whole person, sets the whole course of his life on fire, and is itself set on fire by hell. All kinds of animals, birds, reptiles, and creatures of the sea are being tamed and have been tamed by man. But no man can tame the tongue. It is a restless evil, full of deadly poison. With the tongue we praise our Lord and Father, and with it we curse men who have been made in God's likeness. Out of the same mouth come praise and cursing. My brothers, this should not be. And is there anyone here who wouldn't say amen to a passage like that? That you know how harmful and how damaging and destructive the things that we say can be. Maybe you've known it because you've said it. Maybe there have been times where you've wanted to do it. You've wanted to hurt someone. And the way that you've done it is with what you've said. Or maybe you've been on the receiving end of it. And you've experienced this that way. That you know that some of the most hurtful things in your life have been from what people have said. You know, in a way, words are just, they're just sounds. But they pierce like swords and daggers into people's hearts and lives. And so Proverbs echoes here, James echoes Proverbs in this warning and considering the words that we say and whether we have crooked speech. You know, I did just a quick look about studies about how many words we say. You know, people try to figure that out on average. And the one study that I read said that on average, a person speaks 6,073 words a day. Now, I should be more specific. That was how many words on average men speak. Women speak, I just have to say, that's just what the study said. I didn't necessarily do it. On the average, women speak, what do you think, more or less? I heard a man say less and a woman say more. 8,805 words. Maybe the women among us are more sanctified and can say more safely than we can as men. But you know, whether it's 6,000 or 8,000, that's a lot of words. That's a lot of words. And Proverbs 10:19 says, when words are many, sin is not absent. But he who holds his tongue is wise. And of course, there's more to communication than the words we say. Look at verse 13. Here is this person with a corrupt mouth. But it goes on to say, who winks with his eye, who signals with his feet and motions with his fingers. You know, this is a classic description of the shyster. You know, the person who is making these evil and wicked plans and everything is sort of undercurrents and between the lines. So he's saying things, but he's winking all the time. He's either winking to you or to his confederates, and he's making little signals with his hands and even with his feet. His whole body is engaged in this crookedness, in this crooked communication. And you can just picture that kind of person, or maybe you've encountered them. But I think what we see here and what the Proverbs is telling us, that it's not only by our words that we communicate, that our communication involves, at times, our whole, we would call it, body language. And so we shouldn't just limit the way that our communication can be evil by the actual words that we say. There's more to it than that. It can be the looks that we give, the signals we give with our posture. Some studies say that communication, what's actually communicated, is about 7% the words that we say, 38% the tone of voice that we use when we say those words. And you know that's true. Are you okay? Yes, I'm okay. And you know that they're saying words, they're not okay. 55% by body language. Are you okay? Yes, I'm okay. You know, boys and girls, we have to remember this, and adults too, about how much we can communicate and how that can be something that's not what God wants, not only by the words that you say. You can say the right words, but your eyes can be in a bad place. Your face, your posture. You know, sometimes I see young people, and it's just their posture that is seemingly, I can't see someone's heart, but it's seemingly saying so much to me about what that young person is thinking about what they're doing, or thinking about their mom or their dad, their parents, the authority figure that they're dealing with? Just in their posture. They're shouting out, I don't care, I don't respect you, I wish I was somewhere else. All those things are being said. And you know, lots of times that kind of communication isn't God-honoring. And it isn't honoring the people around you. So here we see this person, he has a crooked speech, but his whole body is involved in communicating in a way that's crooked and perverse. And he's called then a scoundrel and a villain. His communication is marking his character. What he's saying and how he's communicating with his body, in the estimation of Scripture here, makes him a scoundrel and a villain. Literally, in the Hebrew, it says he is a man of Belial. A man of Belial. And that's a proverbial saying. If you read the King James usually translates it literally, and you may recognize it from the King James Version. But lots of times throughout the Old Testament, people or groups of people or individuals are called men of Belial. And the word Belial means worthless. Worthless. And that's God's estimation on them, that what they are saying, and then because of what they're saying, their lives are marked by worthlessness. There's nothing good or of value in them. What a horrible condemnation on someone's life, judgment on someone's life, to be worthless. That what they're doing has no value to it at all in God's sight. Scoundrel, man of Belial, a villain. The word there is just a man of wickedness or mischief. You know, in 1 Samuel 2:12, the sons of Eli were sons of Belial, it says. They knew not the Lord. There's the issue. They knew not the Lord. They didn't know the Lord in a saving way. Their hearts weren't made new by the grace of God, and that made them sons of Belial. You see, the problem isn't really here. Where's the problem, do you think? Someone's pointing here or here, right? The heart. And in Hebrew, the heart includes your mind, your thinking. And look at verse 14. It shouldn't be surprising to us. Who plots evil with deceit where? In his heart. In his heart. That's the issue. You know the saying, the heart of the problem is the heart. The problem of the human heart. Charles Bridges says of the heart in this context, it is a laboratory of evil. A laboratory of evil. What a picture. Just all these potion, everything, all this effort, these endeavors just to produce evil is what's going on in human hearts because of sin. And Jesus confirms that in Matthew 15:19. For out of the heart come evil thoughts, murder, adultery, sexual immorality, theft, false testimony, and slander. Matthew 12:34, you brood of vipers, how can you who are evil say anything good? For out of the overflow of the heart, the mouth speaks. And there again, you know, we've mentioned this so many times before because Scripture mentions it so many times. Some people say the eye is the window of the soul. The words are the window of the soul. The words that you speak flow out of the abundance of your heart. And, you know, sometimes we can keep ourselves in check. But, you know, sooner or later, over time, those words come out. And it overflows out of the heart. It's like people who have a, you know, a cup of tea or a glass, boys and girls, that's just full. You know, if you're really careful, you can walk around and not spill anything. And that's what people try to do. So there are people who, when they're at work, if you're at work where that's where what you say matters, sometimes it's worse when you're at work. Or you're in a place where you know that you shouldn't say certain things. People try to keep it under control. But then you get out on the soccer field and someone, you know, slide tackles you And all of a sudden, all this stuff comes out of a guy's mouth. You say, where did that come from? Well, it's like the little child trying to hold that cup of tea, and if it's jostled, out of the overflow comes what's really in the cup. You know, so you get in that confrontation with someone. Maybe it's your husband or your wife. And when it just really gets down to deep things, out it comes. Out it comes. Maybe even later you say, oh, how could I have said that? But it came out of the heart. Verse 14 said, this person plots evil. The word can also mean plow, interestingly. He stirs up dissension. In the King James Version, it's more literal. He sows discord. It's an agricultural metaphor, I think. He's plowing up so that he can sow discord. Trouble is his crop. He's like a farmer who's trying to prepare the ground and then sow the seed and everything. But in his heart, it's for trouble. And that's going to come out in his words. But if that's what he is sowing, a man reaps what he sows. Jesus said in Matthew 12:36, I tell you that men will have to give account on the day of judgment for every careless word they have spoken. We were speaking about that this morning in the adult class. Someone brought it up. Is it really true? Basically was the question. Is that really true? Jesus said it. It's true. What do we read here if that's what marks the person's life and it just continues that way? Verse 15. Therefore, disaster will overtake him in an instant. He will suddenly be destroyed without remedy. The word destroyed means broken in pieces, without remedy, no healing. Now, that may happen in one way or another when someone reaps what they sow. And if they're a troublemaker and they're always speaking words and communicating in ways that just stirs up trouble, it will come back on them. And ultimately, it's a picture of eternal judgment. And how when that day of judgment comes, if that kind of language has been the overflow of our hearts, and that's what's really marking our hearts, then we'll be broken in pieces and there will be no healing. Proverbs 29 verse 1, a man who remains stiff-necked after many rebukes will suddenly be destroyed without remedy. It's the same language. But you know, thank God, it isn't the last judgment yet. And the Bible holds out hope even for people whose lives are marked by this kind of language that flows out of hearts that are full of sin. Because by God's grace, there is remedy. Here, it's the picture of the ultimate judgment. There'll be no remedy. But in the gospel, there is remedy. There is healing. We mentioned this a couple of weeks ago, Exodus 15:26. The Lord who heals you. That's his name, Jehovah Rapha, who can heal even the many sins of our mouths and the words that we have said. We all stumble in many ways, it says in James 3, verse 2. If anyone is never at fault in what he says, he is a perfect man, able to keep his whole body in check. But we're not perfect. We're not perfect. But Jesus is. And when Jesus lived on this earth, he never sinned. Never once. His heart was pure and perfect, and so his words were always straight and righteous and holy. Always. Always. He only spoke righteous words. His eyes and his hands and his feet only always communicated the holiness and the love of God. It must have been so wonderful to be around Jesus. In a way, to see that kind of righteousness. For some, it was awful to be around Jesus because he always spoke the truth. And he spoke the truth as someone who could look into your heart. But that's who he was. You know, it says in Psalm 12 that the word of the Lord is pure like silver, purified in a furnace seven times. And that was the word of Christ. It applies to Jesus' words. Absolutely pure. And so it's in the gospel of Jesus Christ again that we can be healed. His righteousness, his forgiveness, his word itself is the remedy for us. Reckless words pierce like a sword, Proverbs 12:18, but the tongue of the wise brings healing. And Jesus Christ is the wise Son of God, and his word brings healing to us. Each one of us could be convicted before God simply on the words that we have said, or the words that we haven't said, that we ought to have said, when we remain silent. And so this is a word of hope for all of us. We all need the gospel. And the words that we speak is just one of those areas of our life that just convict us of our great need of Christ. When we see how we have spoken to those around us, maybe especially to those who have been closest to us, that there's forgiveness in Christ and sanctification in Christ, that he can bring healing not only in forgiving us and covering us with his righteousness, but working in us and filling our hearts with the word of Christ and the love of God, so that more and more what's flowing out of our mouths is going to be not crooked speech, but straight speech. You know, here again, it's not just a Christian isn't just someone who doesn't swear or who doesn't take the name of the Lord in vain. A Christian is someone who doesn't sin in what he says, but a Christian is also someone who blesses people with what he says. There's a positive side to it. And I think so much of that, you know, you can go through life and just never talk. That's not the righteous way of living before God that he expects. You know, you may, I would hate for us to just go away and say, okay, don't swear, don't take the Lord's name in vain, and think then that we're using the gift of our mouths the way that God wants us to. It's out of the overflow of the heart that the mouth speaks. And if our hearts are more and more filled with the love and grace of Christ, then our words will be a blessing to other people. You know, I'm someone like that. I tend more to keep my mouth shut. I've gotten through a lot of situations in life smooth, without a lot of difficulty, just because I keep my mouth shut. That's not always good. And it's not always right. Sometimes there were things that I should have said in confronting, in speaking the truth in love to people. Wounds from a friend can be trusted. But there are other times where I just was so selfish, I didn't think of other people. I didn't think, I'm here to be a blessing to other people in what I say. Am I encouraging other people with the words that I'm saying? Am I blessing them? Am I comforting them? There's so much more to godly speech than not taking the Lord's name in vain. Right? And this is our call. So we see here the warning against crooked speech, the call to godly speech, not saying what we should not say. Yes, and there are lots of times where we need to bite our tongue. Do I really need to say this? And lots of different ways. Do I really need to say this? Am I the one to speak into this situation? Or do I really need to say this? Is the content of what I'm saying right in this situation? Then on the other hand, to be those who say what we ought to say. Again, in praise to God, in worship, that our mouths are open to God, but also in blessing each other, in speaking to others about Christ. We can be so guilty of sinful silence when we deal with people around us. We haven't said anything wrong, but we haven't said anything. And that's wrong, lots of times. Oh, we need the gospel. We need the Spirit of Christ. You know, it's a blessing to read in Isaiah 42. God says, I will lead the blind by ways they have not known. Among unfamiliar paths, I will guide them. I will turn the darkness into light before them. I will make the rough places smooth. These are things I will do. I will not forsake them. The NIV there says the rough places smooth. Really what it says there is the crooked places straight. God will make crooked things straight. And that includes our tongues and the words that we speak. If we cry out to him and say, Lord, forgive me, help me, sanctify my mouth. For Christ's sake, for your glory, for the blessing of people around me, sanctify my mouth. So that we speak words that just don't hurt, but words that actually heal and bless. May the prayer of our hearts every day be Psalm 19:14. May the words of my mouth and the meditation of my heart be pleasing in your sight, O Lord, my rock and my redeemer.